Hey, everybody. Welcome to the First Press Sermon Podcast. At the end of the podcast, please take a moment to subscribe to this channel or our YouTube channel to stay up to date with our latest Sunday messages. We are so glad to have you joining us, and we are praying that the following message might inspire you to take your next steps toward Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Guys, thanks for leading us in worship, singing this morning. We appreciate you all very much. We don't tell them enough, do we? They don't do it for their own glory. They're doing it for the Lord. What a blessing. Well, friends, it's a gift to be able to be here before you today. My name is Matt Holtzman. I'm one of the assistant pastors here at First Pres. And I welcome you here into this very unique Sunday, what historically was called Life After Death Sunday, where we read these names of folks that have gone to be with the Lord, no longer with us, but wow, with Jesus. An amazing thing to think about today. You know, when I came here 15 years ago, I came to this service, and I thought, man, I don't know anybody up there on the screen. And so I kind of just sat there. Maybe some of y'all are there today where you're like, ah, these are just names to me. I don't know who any of these people are. But I've been here for 15 years now. Can you believe that? 15 years. And when you do something like that, you kind of get to know people over the course of time. And when you do something like I do, where you're in pastoral care, you actually find yourself sometimes in hospital rooms or in bedsides with some of these people. And so today it's hit me a little bit different. I can tell you that. The loss of these people is a real loss to our community. Death itself is a real thing, isn't it? Amen. Death is real. But you know what else is also real? Jesus conquered it. God, guys, it's going to be a long day. Let's practice our volume on amens, okay? Death, real thing. Amen. Jesus conquered it.
Amen.
Thank you. Come on, guys. You're the last one of the whole gauntlet today. Let's do it. I think it's helpful to be able to look at Romans 8 together. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And it frames truth for us today, especially in something like today. Can we read this together? Okay, good. Let's do it. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, yeah. You can say it as many times as you want today, you guys. Not in vain, but because something might be stirring in you, okay? Holy Spirit's alive and well today. Amen. Okay, that's enough. We are going to finish today's sermon series, All for Love. Today. We've been going through this. What a great sermon series we've been in, hadn't it been? Through Lent, to be reminded of God's love. And today, we're going to be taking a look at the eternal love of God. Love eternal. To have eternal life means that you're in Christ. And to be in Christ means that you are in the eternal love of God. Many things pass away in this life, our lives included. But the love of God goes on forever in all directions, at all times. It's an amazing thing to think about eternity, isn't it? We're temporal beings. We can't help ourselves but think about things temporally. But the call for us today is to be able to say, man, what would it look like to live with the eternal love of God right here on the frontal lobe of our minds? Don't you wish you could just cement it into your brain so that When the service is over, it never left you. You know exactly who God is. Yeah, that's the eternal God of love. I know who I am. I'm loved by the eternal God of love. But you know, you and I have a problem, don't we? We suffer from something very serious. And this is what we suffer from. You're like, what in the world is that? I didn't know I suffered from that. No, yeah, you got it, Adam. Spiritual short-term memory loss. That was cute, wasn't it? But it's true, we suffer from it. The moment an eternal thought goes into our mind, I know, I see God, I know who he is, eternity, wow. It dumps out the back of our head. It's like we have a gas tank of good gas, but there's a hole in the back of it. It just leaks and we're like back to our temporal existence. Here's the thing about earthly things. We can't help ourselves but think about them, number one. But number two, when earthly things become ultimate things, we find ourselves in danger, don't we? Life itself, all of life becomes about the pursuit of those earthly things. We compete for them. We find ourselves injuring one another in the pursuit of them as well. And we don't want that to happen, but it just does sometimes. I tell you what, today, probably better than any other day, as we read these names, we're kind of catapulted back up into the eternal, aren't we? And it's a helpful reminder to us. And you guys might not have been thinking about this very much today, but one day, your name will be on that board. One day, you will die. Thanks. I'm glad I came to church today. But it's true. But here's the thing. The only thing that will be on that board is your name. There won't be any accolades, any awards. There won't be any accomplishments of what you've done, just your name. And why is that? Well, number one, we'd be here for a really long time if we talked about everybody. But even more so than that, at the end of your life, when all is said and done, the only ultimate thing that matters is that your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's all that matters. Now, I'm going to start into this text, and as I do, you're going to see a big problem pretty quick. John the Baptist is there doing his thing, baptizing. And his ministry has actually become quite substantial. But the spotlight right now is starting to shift away from him. And his disciples seem to be having a big problem. And so, Lord, now as we look at your word once again, mold us more into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen. John 3:22-36. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptizing at Anon near Salem because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, you know, the one that you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him. To this, John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I'm not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I tell you what, at first this scene looks quite pleasant, doesn't it? You got the Judean countryside, you got water, you got John and his disciples doing their thing, you got Jesus and his disciples doing their thing. It looks like things are pretty peaceful. But then this argument over ceremonial washing, this argument over baptism rises. Isn't it great we don't argue over baptism anymore? You know? Oh, man. We do. Now, we don't know the details about what's going on right now, though, but what, all we know is that what's happening is causing this unrest in Jesus's and John's, rather, disciples. And they're kind of ticked about what's happening, and they come to John because what's happening is everybody's leaving John, and they're going to Jesus. And John's disciples are like, hey, John, we got a problem. Our numbers are dropping. You know, things are starting to dry up here, John. It'd be like, hey, that hip new church over there with the new pastor is taking everybody out of First Pres, and they're just going in droves over here to the other church across the street. What gives? You know, in our culture today, losing followers or losing clients, that's a hard thing, isn't it? Some of you guys know what that's about. Can you imagine John in this very moment? Oh man, yeah, this is no good. We need to look at our engagement plan once again. You know what we need to do is send out one of those Instagram blasts real quick to get people back. That's what we should do. I think Eli was selling fireworks down the road. Maybe we should do a fireworks show over the water, get everybody to come on back where we are. We do this, don't we? When our numbers start dropping, we start looking to temporal things to be able to meet the problem. Not John. Not John the Baptist. Nothing of the sort comes out of his mouth. What does come out of his mouth in verses 27 to 30 is totally unexpected. It's shocking. And if it's true that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, we get a really good look at John's heart right here. Look at verse 27. To this, John replies, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. What? I imagine John's friends right there going, what? People are leaving. John, why'd you say that? John's got this eternal perspective on his mind. He's not thinking like his friends. It's totally different. John knows that the advancement of the kingdom of God is not something that he is going to personally achieve. It's going to be something he receives. It's a gift. He's a receiver. Did y'all see that? A person can receive only what is given to them from heaven. I'm just a man, John says, with my hands wide open, waiting for heaven to show me my next move. In fact, look at verse 28. You yourselves can testify, I'm not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. So why would you think there's some kind of competition going on here? John's thinking. Now, earlier in chapter 1, we're in 3 right now, but in 1, John shows up on the scene at first, and he makes a big splash in front of everybody. And it's so much so that the Pharisees and people are like, are you the Messiah? John's like, no. What does he say? Are you Elijah? You were looking for that. John's like, mm-mm. Guys, I am not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. You want to know who I am? I'm the man who's unworthy to tie that man's shoes. That's how he identifies himself. I'm unworthy to untie that man's shoes. I'm just a voice in the wilderness right here. Everyone is leaving me and going to him. What else can I do but receive what's happening? This is John's posture. John's like, this would be like interrupting a wedding going on. Watch this. In verse 29, okay, let me break this down. The bride, that's the people, that's you and me. The bride belongs to the bridegroom, that's Jesus. The friend, that's John, who attends the bridegroom, Jesus, waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's what? Voice. That's going to be significant here in just a second. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. John sees himself as the best man in a wedding. The music has started. Y'all been to a wedding before? Starting to get warmer. Might start happening more often. But John's right there. He's waiting, and the music has started. Everybody's turning their eyes into the center aisle. The bride is in the back. She's making her way to the front. The groom is down front, and he's just waiting for his bride to come down the front. No one's paying attention to John. He's just right there. The spotlight has totally shifted off of him, and it is right here on the bride and the groom. They're all leaving me, and they're going to Jesus. How does he feel about it? He's thrilled. He's pumped. He's so excited. Everything that he has prepared to have happen is happening now right before his eyes. There is no competition here. No competition. John the Baptist, this voice in the wilderness. Did you hear that? He's waiting for the voice. The voice of the wilderness is waiting for the voice of the bridegroom. But it's a new voice. The voice that's coming forward now is the voice no longer of prepare the way of the Lord. It's the voice of the good shepherd himself. So much so that the sheep recognize that voice and they come to him. This voice now that is being heard in the very same place where John is the very voice that stood before a tomb of a man named Lazarus. And the voice cries out and says, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man hears this voice and he rises up and he walks out of the tomb. And everybody's like, what just happened? This voice is so different than the voice in the wilderness. And John's over the moon about hearing it. At this moment in the story, John, his voice, but really he fades into the background, totally. We actually don't hear from him again. John would end up dying soon. He would be beheaded. Herod would kill him. And we wouldn't hear from him ever again. But the last thing he gives us, you know what he says? Let's read this together. He must become greater. I must become less. Friends, I want you to think about this for just a second. In your life, when you give credit to others, okay? When you give credit to others, it never costs you anything. Have you thought about that? When you give credit to somebody else, it's like a twin engine blessing. It blesses the one that you're lifting up, but it also gives you joy, doesn't it? Yeah. When you're actually able to become less and allow someone else to rise, dual blessing, joy, both places. But the opposite of that is true as well, isn't it? If I'm going to compete, if I'm going to cut throat, if I'm going to become first, I'm going to think of myself, and I'm going to become greater, that's a depletion on both sides, actually. It doesn't matter the person that's happening to. And for you, it's just a depleter. You ever notice how exhausting it is to try and be number one, to try and get on top? John didn't feel that way. One of the names that we read earlier, I know you saw it was, or heard it, was John Stevens. Now, just by show of hands, how many of y'all have ever heard that name before? Okay, most of us. But some of us did raise our hand. That's okay. This service, actually, of reading names the week after Easter to continue on in the resurrection of Jesus and also honor those that have died was his idea years ago, Life After Death Sunday. And John actually served this church from 1969 to 2005. And friends, this church, really this city, wouldn't be what it is today had it not been John, been called and been able to be who he was and what he did during the time that he was here. But in 2005, you know what happened? John was called into retirement. And I can tell you right now, if you want a lesson and how to become less and let others become great, just go ahead and retire. I haven't done it yet, but I know people who have. That's a lesson in becoming less. Nevertheless, John wasn't so much concerned about preserving his ministry when that happened. He was really more about the Lord's ministry coming forward. But in order for that to happen, he had to become less so that others might be able to come up. In fact, when worship would happen, I've come to learn, John would actually find his seat in the second to last row in the sanctuary. No longer was he up on stage wearing the robe and everybody looking at him. He was in the background so the other rascals like Jim Singleton and other people like that could come up and lead us. God's faithfulness goes forward when we become less, and he brings his kingdom through others. I want you, friends, to think about this in your own life right now. If it doesn't hit home, it really, we can walk out of here, it doesn't matter. Think about what it is for you to bend the light towards somebody else this week. Where is that? Where is that call for you to be able to not be the man or be the woman, but bend the light towards someone else? Is it in your marriage? It is. That's a free one. It is in your marriage. But is it between a brother and sister? Is it at work, between a very difficult, maybe contentious relationship? I don't know. What would it look like, though, if we did this work this week? At the end of the day, friends, who you are becoming has everything to do with who you belong to. Let me say that again. Who you're becoming has everything to do with who it is that you belong to, both for this temporal life that you and I are living at this very moment and for the one to come. Look at verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son, what? Has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Man, what a bummer. Can you believe we're going to stop the All for Love series talking about God's wrath? Oh boy. Whose idea was that? I don't have too much time for this, but here's the deal. In the Bible, we understand very clearly God is holy, God is love. It does not say God is wrath. But the holy God who is full of love acts in wrathful ways whenever he understands that something is impeding his love for his creation. You can bet that the Father of the universe that has all the love in the world, wanting to extend that to his beloved sons and daughters, if there's something getting in the way of that, you bet he's going to have a problem with that. Friends, our sin is the very problem that gets in the way. And God's wrath is poured out, as it says in Romans 1, on the sins of his sons and daughters. But God didn't leave us there. He knew what we needed. So much so that he himself became the remedy. When we look at the cross, it's not just something to be able to wear around our neck and be able to, thanks for that. It's everything to us. We can approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that we can find grace and mercy in our time of need, thanks to Jesus on the cross. Amen? But Jesus didn't stay in that grave, did he? He rose from the grave, and he's living today, so that the gift that comes to you and me, whoever believes in that Son, the risen Son of God, has eternal life. Friends, it's a gift. The call is, can you receive it? The Son has, those that have the Son has eternal life. Not will have, when my last breath is over, eternal life can happen. No, no, no. John 10:10, later down the road, John would say, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, now, present, real time. That's Jesus. Our last question of Generation Z is this: am I loved? It's not just the question of Generation Z, is it? By the way, if you're just popping in, we've been looking at questions that Generation Z has been asking. This is really a question that's probably on every single one of our minds in the morning. But we don't hitch our wagon to the truth right away. It takes some time. But friends, hear this. If you don't hear anything else today, you are the bride of Christ. What groom would not die for that beloved bride? That's who you are. And Jesus loves you more than you can possibly know. As we come to the table today, I want to leave you with a prayer that Paul, the Apostle Paul, gave his friends in Ephesus long ago. But I think it's helpful for us today here too. Not only as we wrap up the sermon series on All for Love, but as we remind ourselves once again of who it is that we are and who it is that he is as we come to this table. It'll be up on the screen, but I invite you to close your eyes and receive this. This is my prayer for you. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high is the and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.
Once again, thanks for listening. To plan your visit, head to our website, firstpresscos.org. That's FIRSTPRESCOS.org.